Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with Kia. Full EV or plug-in hybrid? Go electric with Kia. For more, log on to kia.com.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
And 51555 on Wash Your Hands. Rita Bourne. Rita, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe. How are you?
It's you tried to convince, was it an internet company?
I was trying to convince a services company that my husband had passed. The household bills were in, my husband passed away in November 17, and I waited a couple of months. And then I thought I'd do a little bit of housekeeping. So I decided that I would change the household bills into my name, in order to pay them. Obviously his account would have been closed. So I made contact with the first body. I won't say who they were. And I rang up, and it's a very difficult conversation, but you do get tougher over time. And I spoke to the person who answered the phone, and I told them, you know, my name, the account number. I explained that my husband had passed away and that I was calling to change the services account into my name. And the person said to me, we cannot talk to you, Rita. We need to talk to the account holder. So I said, well, unfortunately, you cannot talk to the account holder because the account holder is dead. So she said, well, could we call back later? So I said, well, really, calling back later isn't going to be of any benefit because he'll still be dead.
Okay.
And every time I said it, Joe, it wasn't easy. Okay. And so I said, he'll still be dead when you call back. So she said, well, perhaps, if he can't come to the phone and we can't get him later, could he perhaps write a letter? So at that point, I was beaten down. So I said, yes.
But they're saying to you, could he write a letter?
Yes, could he write a letter because he couldn't come to the phone? He couldn't come to the phone and he couldn't call them later. So could he write a letter?
What bit of dead did they not understand?
I don't know. I said it three times, Joe, because they offered me three times, and each time I said it, you know, it hurt me deeply. You know, it's not that it's easy to say the word. You know, you find it very difficult to make the call in the first place. So what I did then was I gave up because I just thought, I can't deal with this. So I waited a while and then I thought, okay, what am I going to do? So I thought, okay, I'm just going to have to be clever. So what I did was I sat down on my computer and I drafted a letter to all bodies that I needed to change accounts. Now, I wasn't trying to take any money, Joe. I was trying to pay utilities. Mm-hmm. So I wrote, dear sir, madam, to whom it concerns, you know, please transfer the above account into my wife's name, Rita Byrne. Yours sincerely, David Byrne. And they changed. I signed it for David. I posted everyone and they duly changed all the bills.
So you...
I wrote a letter from heaven.
And what was it like signing his name, your late
husband's
name?
Awful, Joe. Awful. To be pushed to that, Joe, it's disgraceful. I'm sorry now for getting upset. Oh. I didn't think I'd get upset. But what it made me think, Joe, was, you know, I'm young, I run a business, I'm articulate. You know, I was just thinking, you know, I would feel I'm a young widow. You know, I was only 58 when I lost my husband. I would feel that, you know, in theory, widows are a lot older, and I would have a picture in my head of these elderly people trying to deal with this. So my tip to everybody is you write a letter and you sign it from the person who's dead and they change the account.
That is... And we had the case yesterday where it was an internet company. They said, hang on, this woman rang. So my husband has died, and they said, what's his name? And they said, hang on a minute. And they said, oh, yeah, he is dead. We can confirm that he's dead. We've just seen his name in RIP.ie. But she said, I know he's dead. He's my husband. He's my husband. I buried him.
Well, at least they did something. My people refused to believe me that my husband was dead. I don't think it's something that you're going to pretend. And my point with Joe, the reason that I rang was that I wasn't trying to take bank accounts. I wasn't trying to take money. I was trying to pay bills. I was trying to be a good person because I knew all these bills were going to bounce, and I was trying to avoid being, you know, cut off for Christmas or, you know, course, this kind of carry on. Yeah, absolutely, because David passed away at the start of November.
So he's three years, and it's his anniversary coming up, and it's three years very soon.
Absolutely. So that's my tip.
And how are you doing, Rita?
We're doing okay. I've just put my house on the market to sell, so it's an emotional time. But look, you know, what can we do? You know,
well,
but look,
you spoke up, and you're trying to educate people, especially in big institutions, big companies. But wait, there's more calls coming up on this, Rita. Like, it's bizarre. Thanks, that's Rita Bourne and Greg Stone. It's George Kelly. George, it's your son-in-law's mother. Okay, so what happened?
Back around April, she was living on her own. She was a widow, and she'd been sick for a while. She died anyway. And so about a month later, a letter arrived in the post. Mm-hmm. And on the envelope, the address was correct. It was addressed to the late, her name, whatever her name it was, the late. Then we opened the letter, and it said, "Dear the late, regarding the account, she had an agreement with a supply company. Your account is going into arrears, and we may not be able to supply you further. We look forward to hearing from you soon." And, like, they must know something that we don't. How could the woman who's dead reply in a letter?
And it's
so they rang the company, and all they got, they got an apology just over the phone. But it said that it was a standard letter that goes, but surely how can that happen? There must be somebody there to check these letters. Dear the late, and look forward to hearing from you soon. How can that possibly be, you know? So I just thought I'd let you know with all the other calls you're getting there.
And is it the computer that comes up with "Dear the late, Mary Murphy" or whatever?
Yes, I haven't got a clue. We said that. They said it was a standard generic letter that comes out, and apologise for it.
Okay.
Where are you going there?
Okay, there's more to come, George. Thanks to you, it's George Kelly. Dolores Farris. Dolores is in Dublin. Dolores, good afternoon.
Hiya, Joe.
What? This is even sadder. What happened in your case, Dolores?
Well, we're going back a long time when things would have been done by hand, not by computer. So I'd just like to kind of make that clear. You know, errors did happen, but still, they're upsetting. My daughter was born in 1974, December 1974.
Okay.
She died the bank holiday weekend, June bank holiday weekend in 1975, 6 months. About 10 weeks after she had died, I had a knock at the door. And it was the local, as we used to call them, the baby nurse from the local dispensary, calling to see my baby and check my baby was okay. And I kind of looked at her and I said, "What?" Mm-hmm. And she said, "Like, you had a little girl." And she's looking at her paperwork. And I said, "My baby died on the 1st of June." And she's looking at the paperwork and she, "Are you sure?" And she was embarrassed, obviously. "Are you sure" came out as an automatic response. It wasn't something she thought about. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But you can imagine how upsetting it was. Kind of, you know, she went off. I said, "Do you want to come in?" And she kind of said, no, I'll go. And I said, "Just check, sort out the paperwork for me." Because her death certificate would have been around in that same dispensary, you know, the way they're sent out from whatever, central office or wherever. It would have been around there. So that was fine. She went over it herself. But when I sat and obviously was extremely upset, it brought everything back. She was still very fresh and raw. And when Gail died, and we went to the hospital in the ambulance, and we had to wait there. And my husband, we had to wait until the police came. And my husband had to formally identify her in front of the police. And we then had to come home and the police called to the house. And they checked around where she was sleeping and they took away the mattress. And basically we were being looked on as it was a criminal case.
Good That's
the initial. Yeah. But that was the norm back then, right? And it was nothing. I mean, the policemen were only doing their job, right? But there were better ways of doing it and more empathic ways of doing it. Yeah. But as a result of all of that, and then the, you know, I kind of started thinking back on what had happened. And I wrote a letter to your mentor, Mr. Byrne.
Yeah.
And saying how hard everything was and spilled out my guts, basically. And he being who he was at the time, much like yourself, got in contact. Mm. And the result of it was that he put five people in touch with one another, and us five founded a group that is still going called the Irish Sudden Infant Death Association.
Oh, well done.
In the time that it's been running, has done great work to work with bereaved parents, particularly cot death, as it was back in the day. Sudden Infant Death is the correct title now. But in making, I mean, I know initially we got leaflets printed, how we first started, we got leaflets printed and we all undertook to leaflet our own GPs all around our own areas, right? To tell them how to deal with parents who present as bereaved parents after cot death, right? I'm not saying if your child has been ill, it's any easier. It's not. You lose a child no matter what age. It's horrific. But there is a certain way when it's a cot death. It's, you know, it just, it's so sudden and you feel guilt and you feel all sorts of things that you don't need to feel, but you do, right? And that was our first kind of foray into making people aware. But as a result of that, then the Gardaí changed their training in Templemore as to how it would be dealt with, and local doctors became more aware. And, you know, up to that, people believed that. I mean, I know when I would meet people in the street after Gail died, and it'd be, but like, you must have heard something, you know, you must have known, you must have heard something, and, you know, and that was the thing, there was nothing to hear. I know when we got to the hospital the day she died, there was another couple there, and they had their son. They'd been shopping up at Crumlin Shopping Centre, and they couldn't get parking. So the wife went in to do the shopping, and the husband was driving around with the carry cot in the back seat with the new baby in it, or whatever it was, 5 months, 6 months. And the wife came out, got into the car, baby was crying, needed to feed. They drove home. They lived in Walkinstown, only up the road. And they lifted the carry cot in, and she said, oh, the baby's gone back to sleep. But in fact, the baby had died in the back seat of the car. No noise, no anything, just died in the sleep. You know, so, but you have this guilt, particularly if you've been asleep and you wake up and your baby is dead. You know, and there was nobody, people weren't aware that you didn't hear anything, you know. And I know I had an older boy, he was almost three at the time. Mm. And only for him, and knowing I had done nothing different on with my daughter to what I had done with him, that gave me a certain amount of confidence that I wasn't to blame. But the guilt was still there. You know, if she had been my first child, I would, I don't think I'd have recovered. You know, I don't think I would.
And the organisation is still there, Dolores. And
ISID is there.
Great.
You will see come marathons, when we had mini marathons and full marathons,
and you will see
the people with the T-shirt, and it's a daisy with a leaf dropping off is the symbol. And they've done sterling work over the years. There's a lady called Margaret, I don't know her married name, Margaret Cheevers was her maiden name. And she's worked in the office, run the office for years. Only one paid staff member, and everybody else was voluntary. Okay. And amazing work.
And I know your baby was called Gail, and I know you'll never forget about her.
There's not a day goes by, Joe. And I mean, that's the same for any parent.
And what's come of it is good for other people as well, in terms of support and help at that really, really awful time. Dolores, thanks indeed. That's
Dolores. Thank you for taking the call.
Thanks for making the call. Thanks for keeping in touch, as indeed our other callers. By the way, given the topic we're on for the last 10 minutes, I can't let this week pass on a national radio programme without mentioning two people, one of them very close to this programme, too, is Father Paddy O'Callaghan. And you all know Paddy through Funny Friday and indeed before that, Bull Island. He's the nicest, wisest, friendliest, generous, giving man. If you ask me what do I miss most about the pandemic in terms of the programme, obviously it's a privilege to be here and listen to people's stories. But it's the whole Funny Friday atmosphere and the laugh as we went around the country. But Paddy, unfortunately, and Fionnuala, they lost their son, Brian, in the last 7 days. Brian O'Callaghan was 37 years of age, and a magnificent life, well lived. If you want to, and this is what we mentioned, RIP.ie, it's still up on the RIP.ie website under Brian's obsequies details. You can see the mass of 2 days ago, and you can listen to Paddy's eulogy about his boy, his beloved boy. So to Paddy and Fionnuala, and to Steve Curran and his beloved Jean, who he loves so much as his little sister, we offer our condolences from the Liveline team and indeed the Liveline listeners who know Paddy and love his performances so well. And the other person that cannot go unremarked on national radio that passed this week is Fergus McCabe. Fergus, people will know him. The North Inner City, I tell you, is in mourning the last 24 hours since Fergus passed away. Fergus McCabe, Belvedere College, then involved in the Newsboy Duke Club. Then, for decades, I first met him 40 years ago, around 1980, in the North Inner City, a community activist, a campaigner against drugs, a campaigner for young people, especially those who got a rough deal, involved in the inner city organisations, involved in citywide drugs projects, involved in the with Tony Gregory, Mick Rafferty, Noel Gregory in the Charlie Haughey, the Gregory deal. Fergus was pivotal to that as well. And it's a terrible, terrible loss, not just to Helena, his wife, and his extended family, but to the North Inner City. So God rest Brian O'Callaghan. And Brian was a free spirit. Fergus was a free spirit as well. And the great thing, I'd never had the privilege of meeting Brian, but from a Paddy's eulogy, I did have the privilege of meeting Fergus McCabe. Fergus McCabe had no agenda. He opened and was welcome to everybody who was interested in justice and fairness. And God rest Fergus, and God rest Brian.
Duffy. Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
Mary Therese Mooney in Clansky in Dublin. Mary, again, what happened in your case? Your husband died, unfortunately, last October.
Yes, he did. He died. And, he was ill, and we had changed a lot of our bills and stuff into my name. You know, we'd made a little bit of preparation. Now, we were hopeful he got a lung transplant, but it didn't work out. But we thought we had all our homework done. But one of the bills, and with the utility bill, we had forgotten about. I think it might have been to do with the telly. So I rang up, during the lockdown at some stage, and I said, I'll sort this one out now. So I rang up and I said, I need to change the bill into my name.
Mm-hmm.
And I did say my husband had died, but I needed, and they said, and I said, so what do I do? And they said, well, we have to speak to him. And I said, well, he's passed away, and she said, yeah, but we need authority, right? So I said, I know what this is going to be, stupid. So I said, hold on a minute, please, and I'll get him.
Okay.
I said, now he's quite sick. So we make your conversation brief. So that was fine, no problem. So okay. I waited a couple of seconds, and then I came on and I said, hello? And they said, is that Mr. Moody, is it okay if your wife takes over your account and talks on your behalf? Yeah, no problem. So I said, and they said, fine.
Oh, Mary.
They're just ticking boxes. They don't even listen to what you say. So it was just unbelievable. I was actually laughing at the time because it was so
You were so fed up with the whole stupidness
of it. I was so fed up, and I said, I'll make this easy on myself, and I pretend I'm not. So I did a low voice, a gravelly voice, and, you know.
And your first words, what did you say? Hello? Was it hello? What did...
Yeah, because I said, I'll pass the phone over to him now. Yeah. And then I just said, oh. And they said, oh, Mr. Minow. I said, yeah, that's fine, no problem. She said, thank you very much. And proceeded to take my details and change the details on the bill.
Yeah. Have you told anyone else this, Mary?
Yeah, I know. When I need a bit of life relief after all that's happened.
You were so frustrated and fed up. And obviously your husband was dead, full stop, unfortunately, and tragically.
Yes, yes, yeah. And you know, what part of dead do you not understand?
Yeah, and you weren't going to go down the whole rigmarole of what they would have wanted. And you just said, hello.
I took it into my own hands.
Yeah. You channeled them through.
Yeah, I told them what they gave them what they wanted to hear.
So, what do I say to you? What do I say? Do you want to say, well done, people give out to me? If I say, I totally understand.
I did very well. I was
totally
very pleased
understand
with
your frustration, yeah.
Yeah, I was pleased with myself by the time, because the job was done then, you know. Another box ticked. But people can be so they're not being disrespectful. They're just not thinking. They're not engaging their brains. They're looking at a checklist of questions to ask, and they're not really listening to what people are saying to them.
Yeah. And in this day and age, as somebody said, they're I know what we were speaking about earlier on about Dolores was telling us about Gail, her baby who died. And she said that was back in the day and it was paperwork. But what's the excuse now with computers and ways of checking and scanning? Yeah. And anyway.
Yeah, I think, some people, it's probably a very boring job, but they act a little bit like robots rather than,
anyway. Your husband died. He's just over a year dead.
Yeah. Oh. He had got a lung transplant, but it didn't work. Ah. So.
What was his first name, Mary?
Niall,
you said it earlier. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, God rest him.
Anyway.
Okay.
He was, he gave me the inspiration to tell Corky's on the phone.
And come here, what would he have said to you?
Sorry?
What would he have said to you, Mary, when he...
He would have said, well done.
Well, God rest him. And he was a young man, was he, if he had a lung transplant? Youngish.
Yeah, he got pulmonary fibrosis and there was no cure for that, only a transplant, which he got because he was healthy every other way, but it just didn't take.
Oh, God rest him. So he'd find the funny side to it.
Oh, he would, yeah. Absolutely.
Okay, Mary, mind yourself.
All right, okay.
Okay, thanks for contacting us. And God rest Niall. 51551, my chat.